Hi Krishna, well thank you so much Kajal for your kind introduction and warm welcome, and I'm really happy to be with all of you. It's a shame I'm not there. I'd love to be there in person and maybe in the future sometime. But
We'd
I'm
love to
coming
have
to
you
you.
here.
Yeah, sure. No, for sure. I'm coming to you today from Bhaktivedanta Manor. This is we're right in the top of the building here. This is where I hang out. It's a small little room here, and but we're connected through technology and through Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada created a house in which the whole world can live, so in that way we're all connected. And I'm sure there are many illustrious devotees on the call. This is one of the perils of doing Zoom calls around the world, that you really don't know who's on the call, and I'm sure many of you are illustrious, experienced, knowledgeable. I could well be on the other side listening for many of you, but you've kindly given me an opportunity to share something, so I'll do that as a service. And yeah, I guess what I'll do is I won't speak too long actually. I'll speak about 45 minutes, 1 hour. Famous last words. All the speakers say that and they go on. I'll try to keep it. And then I'll open it up and let's have a little bit of a discussion. I hope what I talk about will be relevant, will be thought-provoking, and hopefully beneficial for all of you. So the way I'll do it is I'll just share a little PowerPoint. At different times in the talk, I may just ask you to write something on the chat. So please, don't be shy, please interact. It's wonderful to hear from all of you. And I hope we can all get a little closer to Krishna by spending this Sunday together. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so it's the start of a new year. Of course, it's funny, every single time we have a new year, devotees always send around this quote by Prabhupada, where Prabhupada says, "What a devotee, every day is a new year, every So they kind of like diffuse the whole thing, but whatever it may be, yes, of course, Prabhupada says every day is a new year, but we use any opportunity to upgrade our devotional service and make a new effort, a new endeavor for Krishna to go a little deeper. So I thought this topic might be relevant as we begin a new year. And the topic I decided to speak about today is a beautiful life. I don't think there's, sorry, 1 second. I don't think there's any of us on the call who wouldn't want a beautiful life. Maybe some of you already have a beautiful life. Actually, just by coming to Krishna consciousness, life becomes beautiful. But as we know, Krishna's beauty is unlimited, isn't it? When Radharani appreciates Krishna's beauty, then Krishna smiles, and when Krishna smiles, she appreciates his beauty more, and then he sees her smile and appreciates her beauty more. It's ever increasing. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam is an expanding ocean of beauty. So just as Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, life can be unlimitedly beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada has given us all the spiritual wealth to make a beautiful life for ourselves. And so today I want to share with you some maybe realizations, some lessons, some observations from whatever I've witnessed in my own life of what it means to create a beautiful life so that we can make the most of this opportunity that's been given to us. So that's what I'll try to share with you today. Let's create a beautiful life, a life in which we have no regrets. That's one thing I tried to resolve to myself in life. I said, whatever I do, I don't want to have any regrets. So let's have that as a meditation. But before we talk about that, I'm going to share something with you, which, I hope will get you thinking. If we look closely at our life, we actually live in five different worlds. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I just want you for a moment to think about this, that we actually have five different worlds in which we operate. Okay? The first world is the world you live in. We live in this big world. 7 billion people. The world has many countries. The world has many, many different environments. This world is full of different opinions. And we live in this big wide world. And who can say they're living in this world and it doesn't influence them? It influences all of us. So we live in a world, that's surrounding us. Okay, that's the first world that we live in. The second world is the world that we choose for ourselves. Yes, there's a big wide world out there with many places, but you decide a part of that world to live in. Like all of you decided to live in Columbus. Congratulations. It was a great choice. Better than Wembley and Harrow. She's giving us a thumbs
up. I still miss Harrow.
Still miss it, yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Healing Road and all that street.
Healing Road, exactly. Sacconi's restaurant.
So we choose a world, isn't it? We choose a place to live. We choose an ashram. I decided to live as a brahmachari. Many of you are grihastas. If you're not a brahmachari and you're a grihastha, then, and you're in between, they say you're a brahmastra. So everyone chooses different life situation, isn't it? All of you are in Columbus Temple, but then all of you chose a different service. All of you chose a different lifestyle, isn't it? Some people buy really big houses. And then you need a really good job to pay for the house. And you got to work really hard. So you create a lifestyle for yourself. That's the world that you choose. Okay? So the second world is the world we choose. I hope I'm being clear so far. The third world is the world inside you. Yes, all of you live in Columbus and all of you come to the temple. That's the world that you've chosen. But not everyone can see the world inside you, isn't it? One devotee, he used to tell me, my mind during the japa period is like a horror movie, right? So what is the inner world? What's going on inside your own world? That's another world. Yes, isn't it? When we come to the Sunday feast, nice tilak, iron kurta. But inside, we don't know what's going on. It's a different world, okay? So then there's the world inside you. Then there's the world that you change, isn't it? We're not just living in this world, but we can actually change a bit of this world, isn't it? Like all of you come to Columbus Temple, then you learn so many things. Then maybe in December, some of you went out for book distribution and you changed some people's lives. You changed the world for the better by giving a book out. We made a difference, and that's the world that we change. And then there's the world that you're destined for. And I put blue here because we want to go to the blue world, the world of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. That's the world that hopefully we will re-enter. If not, then the world you're destined for is another situation, maybe in another universe. We've been doing it for many lifetimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. Brahmande, Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. For many lifetimes, you've been going from world to world. Okay, so these are the five worlds that each one of us live in. Now, I want you to answer me on the chat. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And you can only choose one number. Which do you think is the most important world? Of these five worlds, what world would you say is the most important world out of five of them? Okay, we're getting some answers coming in now. Let's see all these names somehow. Okay, Sumitra says 3. Ruchira says 3. Oh, look, this is like you're all following each other. Charita says 3. Prema Sindhi says 3. Kajal Gopi says 4. Kush and Manisha say 3. Iskon Columbus, who is Ram? Can't see on my screen.
Ramesh Prabhu. Yep.
Ramesh Prabhu says 3. Hari says 4. Juhi Patel says 5. Richard Weber is our philosopher. He says the eternal is preferable over the temporary, the blue. Amazing. Wonderful. Vishwanath says 4. Ram Tirtha and Sita Sundari Mataji say 3. Oh my goodness. Okay. This is super interesting. So most of you are saying 3. A few of you say 4. Richard knows it's about the eternal world, Krishna's world. That's very interesting. Okay.
And Prabhu, there is one with 5 also.
There's one with 5, yeah. I think that was Richard, right? Richard said 5. Yeah, Richard said 5. Yeah.
There's some more on 5.
Oh, there's some more on 5 as well. Okay. Yeah, sorry. All right. This is very interesting. Actually, I mean, there's no right answer to this, but this is just how I'm thinking. All 5 worlds are important. The world you live in is so important, isn't it? Who can say? Krishna says, Tribir Gunamayir Bhavir Abi Sarvam Idam Jagat. Krishna says, everyone in this world is bewildered by the 3 modes of nature. They don't know me. How powerful this world we live in is on us. It's a very important world because it's having such a big influence on us. The world inside us is so important. I think many of you said that because Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, isn't it? Krishna accepts the love, the sincerity, the emotion, and all of that is the inside world. So probably many of you think the inside world is so important because whatever you do on the externals, Krishna's inside, right? Krishna is like the eternal CCTV, right? You can't, what you think, no one's what Krishna's watching you from inside, and he sees your inside world. So I think that's why many of you may have said 3. The world you can change. Some of you said that. And I would agree, the world you can change is also a very important world because Prabhupada came here to change the world, isn't it? Why did Prabhupada go to the West? because he wanted to change the world. That's an important world. That was a mission. That was the order of his spiritual master. And the fifth world, the world that you're destined for, that's also very important, because ultimately, what did Prabhupada name his magazine? Back to Godhead. Once I met an Indian uncle on the street, and he said, I get your magazine every week. You know the one, God to Backhead. I said, God to Backhead? What's that? Oh, you mean back to Godhead. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Now, Prema Sindhu Prabhu has also come out with, he's pulled out another philosophical point. He says, two influences, two also, three also.
Three also, not two. I mistyped it, actually.
Two influences, three. So, Prema Sindhu Prabhu, are you suggesting that the number two is the most important?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that three is influenced by the world. If you live with devotees, the world inside you will change. So, it depends on the world you choose outside.
Okay. Now, I'm going to come out with the answer that surprisingly none of you came up with. Prema Sindhu has just come up with it. My proposal to you today is that number two, the world that you choose, is the most important world. That is my proposal, dear devotees. If you... you can complain to the GBC if you think I'm wrong. But my proposal to you today is that the world you choose is the most important world. Because according to the world you choose, it will create the world inside you. According to the world inside you, that will determine what part of the world you can change. And according to the world inside you and the world that you change, that will determine the world that you're destined for. But where does it all begin? It all begins with the world you choose for yourself. And what I want to propose to you, dear devotees, is that if we think very carefully about the world that we choose for ourselves, and we craft a very beautiful world in which we live. Now, you may say, I'm not in control of the world I live in. Yes, but you are in control of the world that you choose. And if you create a beautiful world, all the other worlds will form around it. And therefore, I love this quote by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, this life of material existence is just like hard wood, like a block of wood. Sometimes when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and you can't go out of your bed, the body feels like a block of heavy wood. It's like, you know, if you're in the Brahmacharya Ashram, it's just like all these heavy blocks of wood sleeping next to each other. And the alarm goes off. Prabhupada says this material existence is like a block of hard wood. But the great opportunity is from that block of hard wood, you can carve Krishna out of it. In other words, you can create a beautiful life for yourself. And if you do that, Prabhupada says, that's the success of your life. And I love this analogy because when you're carving something like this beautiful deity of Krishna on the left, you can't just do it in one go. It's very intricate. You've got to chip away. You've got to sand. You've got to smoothen. You've got to make corrections sometimes. You've got to carve. You've got to pay attention to details. And life is like that. You can't just change your life overnight. You can't just create a beautiful life overnight. But you work away at little different bits of it and you actually find that, oh my God, Krishna is appearing in my life. It's beautiful. And so what I'm going to propose to you today is that a beautiful life consists of five major things. There could be more, but these are the five which really, for me, stand out. A beautiful life is a life in which we're spiritually inspired. A beautiful life is a life in which we're emotionally connected. A beautiful life is a life in which we're psychophysically situated. A beautiful life is a life in which we're internally committed. And a beautiful life is one in which we're practically balanced. Okay? Some of you will be stronger in some of these elements and weaker in other elements. As we're going through each one, I want you to mark yourself out of 10. How do I do on each one of these things? And where are my strong points? Where are my weak points? And then you will know what you have to do in the year ahead to strengthen your spiritual life and beautify your life so that you create the best world that you can live in. And based on that, remember, every other world will follow from there. So let me just, for about half an hour, discuss these five elements for you, share with you some ideas, and then we can have some question and answer. Maybe I'll just pause here for 1 second and just ask whether anyone has any questions so far before I go into these five elements. Okay, Sumitra Mataji, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. When you say psychophysically situated, does it mean psychophysically grounded or anchored?
Okay, we're going to talk about that. Essentially, what it means is to live in your dharma. To be psychophysically situated means that you have to find a life which suits the body and mind and psychophysical makeup that Krishna has given you. And what we'll actually discover, if many of us look at our life, that we're not psychophysically situated very well. And I will explain a little bit about that. I will explain these five, but does anyone have any questions on anything I've said before I showed you these five? Any of the other elements?
So, Prabhu, I just had one question. Like, is
you
spoke about the five worlds. Is that anyway related with these five, or is it like totally different?
No. Those five worlds are not related to these five. These five are related to the world number two. World number two is the world that you choose.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to share with you is that the world that you choose should be a world in which you're spiritually inspired, emotionally connected, etc., etc.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, makes sense? All right, good. Yeah. Rukmini Mataji, yes?
Yes, just a question. It may not be a subject of a question. Wouldn't you say that our choices come from inside of us, or where do they come from?
Very good question. Remember, inside of us means we are the soul. Remember that. We are the soul and we have a body. So when we say inside of us, I mean, ultimately, the soul has free will. And the soul is desiring. The soul is making choices. Therefore, at the end of the Gita, what does Krishna say to Arjun? Iti te jnanam akhyatam guyat guyataram maya. It's like Krishna is God. Like, he knows everything. And he's like, who can be a better coach than God? And Krishna is so amazing. Krishna says, Jnanam akhyatam, I've given you this knowledge. Vimrashet, think about it. Yata icha. And then whatever is your desire, tathakuru, that you do. It's up to you. You have free will. It's your choice. So, yes, choices are made by us, the soul. Now, that's not to say we're not influenced, right? We're influenced by the modes. We're influenced by others. We're influenced by the world around us. We're influenced by the media. However, number one, we choose our influences. And number two, even when the influences come, we choose how much to listen to those influences. And so ultimately we can say that, yes, the soul has free will. And the soul is making choices. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Is this a... Premasindhu Prabhu says, choices are made on our desires, which depend on our association. Yes. Yes, very good. All right. I'm sure there will be more questions to come. Please do write down your questions. Let me whiz through these five things, and then I'll open it up for a bit more discussion with all of you. And let's begin with the first one. We need a life in which we are spiritually inspired. You see, life is very unpredictable. Life can be very confusing. Life can be challenging. Life can be very, very heavy, isn't it? Sometimes I compare it to a scale and I say, on one side is the weight of life. Isn't it? Like, how heavy is your life? You have all these things on our head, all these things on our mind, all these responsibilities, all these challenges, all this sometimes negativity. Life can weigh us down. And then I say on the other side, there is the weight of love. How much love do we have for Krishna? How much love do we have for chanting? How much love do we have for Srila Prabhupada and service? And the real question in life is not what is the weight of life, but what is the weight of your love? Because when you're spiritually inspired and the weight of the love that you carry within your own consciousness is so substantial, then it will always outweigh the weight of life. You see, life will always be very, very heavy. There's a story, I've never read it, but I've heard many devotees tell it. So don't quote me on it, but Prabhupada was once in a car and he was driving and he hit a traffic jam. And as there was a traffic jam, he looked out of the car window and there was a sign, a road sign. And the road sign said, roadworks, temporary inconvenience, permanent solutions. And so Prabhupada looked at that sign and he started laughing. And he was laughing and laughing and he said, material world means temporary solutions, permanent inconvenience. So dear friends, the way of life is not likely to reduce. There will be challenges, there will be difficulties, there will be adversity. But the real question is, what is the way of love? And the way we develop love is through being spiritually inspired in our spiritual practices. That purity is our immunity to life and the world. Here we have, you may all be familiar with the story of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was so spiritually inspired. He walked into Vrindavan. He was chanting on his beads. He was a sannyasi. He was free. He had no obligations. And he just sat down at Govinda Kund. Today you can go to Govinda Kund. It's a very, very beautiful place by the foothills of Govardhan. And there he was just chanting beautifully. And then one day he was so absorbed in his chanting that he forgot to eat. And then this beautiful boy came to him and he said, "Oh, Baba, in our village, no one fasts. Why are you fasting? Here is a pot of milk. You take this milk." So Madhavendra Puri, he's like, "Wow, this boy is so beautiful. I've never met anyone like this in my life." And then the boy disappeared. He drank the milk. And when he drank the milk, his mind was, "I've never tasted anything like this in my life. Who was that boy? What is this milk?" He couldn't sleep. He couldn't do anything. He was just thinking of that boy. And then when he finally managed to sleep, the boy came in his dream. And the boy said, "I am Gopal. And I want you to come and rescue me. I'm in the bushes at the foothills of Govardhan. And I want you to come and rescue me." And so Madhavendra Puri, as he woke up, he immediately went to that place and he found the beautiful deity of Gopal. This is the deity which many, I don't know, in Columbus, maybe there are many Gujaratis. Gujaratis are worshippers of Srinathji, isn't it? Pushti Marg, Vallabhacharya. So this is the deity discovered by Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was a sannyasi. He had no obligation. He was a wandering mendicant. He just moved from place to place without a care in the world. But now Krishna had come in his life and Krishna said, "I want you to build a temple for me. I want you to organize my worship, bring the whole community together, organize." Basically, Krishna told him to start an ISKCON temple. And I don't know who's the temple president in Columbus, but the temple president can tell you how much anxiety it is to organize an ISKCON temple. Madhavendra Puri, he had not, but Krishna told, he took on all of that anxiety. He took on all of that complexity. He took on all of that responsibility. But because he was spiritually inspired, it never brought him down. It never affected him. Here's a beautiful verse. Pragada premere e swabhavachar, nija dukha vigna dira na kare vichar. Kaviraj Goswami says, when one has love, the devotee doesn't consider any inconveniences or impediments. In all circumstances, they're just happy to serve. So when you're spiritually inspired, everything else in life that may cause you anxiety just disappears. Because the weight of love is so heavy. And so, if you want to create a beautiful life, you have to be spiritually inspired. And to be spiritually inspired, Rupa Goswami says, pancha anga bhakti. First thing is, invest the best time of your day in chanting Krishna's names. Give Krishna the best time of your life, the best time in your day, and do it with absorption, do it with attention, do it with a sense that this is priority. Then Rupa Goswami says, serve the Vaishnavas. Then Rupa Goswami says, read the Bhagavatam. Sanatan, he says, the Bhagavatam is my only friend. The Bhagavatam is my constant companion. The Bhagavatam is my guru. The Bhagavatam is lifting me up. The Bhagavatam is the source of all my happiness. He's such a love for the Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami says, worship the deities. And Rupa Goswami says, spend time in Vrindavan. Spend time in the holy places. And it said, sakala sadhana shreshta e pancha anga. That of all the sadhanas, sakala sadhana, of all sadhana, A pancha anga, these five activities, Krishna prema janmaya e panche ralpa sanga, that love for Krishna comes about even by alpa sanga, some small contact with these practices. So what I want to share with you all as the first item of a beautiful life is that create a life in which these five activities take precedence. Because when these five activities are done well, all spiritual inspiration comes. And when spiritual inspiration comes, love deepens. And when your love is deep, when your love is heavy, then the weight of that love will outweigh the weight of life. And you will not walk through this world. You will float through this world because you have love. This is the first thing I want to share with everyone. Along with being spiritually inspired in our own life, dear devotees, we need friendships. Not Facebook friends, not Instagram friends, not friends who are just on your contact list in your phone who, you know, you never really speak to deeply. We need real, deep, emotional connection. When I came to this movement, I have to be honest with you, I was not looking for relationships. In fact, I was a bit of an impersonalist. Maybe I still am. But I wanted to escape from everyone. So when I was joining the Brahmacharya Ashram, one of the Brahmacharis, I think he wanted to scare me. So he said, are you sure? Are you sure you want to join the Brahmacharya Ashram? Becoming a Brahmachari means you are socially dead. I said, amazing. That's exactly what I've been looking for. Of course, it doesn't mean to be socially dead because we're connected in a different way. But I was not looking for relationships. But later on in my life, I realized that if I could survive maybe without relationships, but if I wanted to thrive, if I wanted to reach my potential, if I wanted to overcome obstacles, then I would need good friends. We all need encouragement. We all need advice and feedback. We all need someone who can give us a perspective outside of our own emotional chaos. We all need friends on the journey. And this is Kaviraj Goswami. Who can be more elevated than him? And what does he say? Durgame patimain dhasya skalat pada gater muho svakripa yastidanena shanta shantha valambanam. He says, Durgame pati maindasya, my path is difficult. Skalat pada gater muhu, I'm again and again, I'm slipping. We are like that, we're slipping again and again. You can have a great Sunday feast program and then on Monday you slip up again. Right? You can go to a great Kirtan festival. And then the next morning, you forget to wake up for japa, slip up again. We're constantly slipping, but what does he say? The Vaishnavas, the devotees, the saints, they are the stick of mercy that are holding me up. Here you can see the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were so deep. They were so elevated. They were so individually, spiritually accomplished. But what would they do? Every single day they would come together in the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple and they would exchange and talk and discuss with each other. Because bodhayanta parashparam, when devotees come together, then they enlighten each other and they elevate each other. They edify each other. They encourage each other. And in this way, they give each other support. So a beautiful life means a life in which you have deep Vaishnava relationships. And Rupa Goswami, he tells you what kind of qualities you should look for in a friend. And he gives these beautiful qualities. He says, Sajatiya, Snigdasya, and Ashraya. He says, if someone has these three qualities, then you can consider them a real friend in Krishna consciousness. Sajatiya means like-minded. Snigdasya means trust and love. There's some intimacy between you. And Ashraya means spiritual advancement or someone who can give you spiritual shelter. In other words, who is a friend in Krishna consciousness? Someone that knows you, someone that loves you, and someone who can actually help you get closer to Krishna. Now look at your friendships and ask yourself, how many deep friendships do I have where the person actually knows me? Not just that, but the person is actually my well-wisher. And not just that, this person actually has some spiritual advancement that they can help me. These are real friends. These are the emotional connections that we require. And it's not that these will just come overnight. You'll have to develop them with others. But these are the friendships that we require in spiritual life. And so, the second thing I wanted to share with you is that a beautiful life means a life in which you have emotional connections. Here's another really important point. A beautiful life is a life in which you're psycho-physically situated well. Here you see the picture of Gajendra and the crocodile. Gajendra was an elephant. Gajendra was powerful. Gajendra could contend with any landscape. But what happened is when he was playing in that river and the crocodile bit him, although the crocodile was just a small fraction of his size, although the crocodile had less strength physically, as they were fighting, I think they were fighting for 1,000 years, it's mentioned. Amazingly, who was getting weaker? The crocodile or Gajendra? Gajendra. How? How could Gajendra be getting weaker? He's an elephant. He's so powerful. He obviously would be able to have more resilience and strength and stamina than the crocodile. So how is it that Gajendra was becoming weakened? Because Gajendra was in the water. And is an elephant an animal of the water? No. Is a crocodile an animal of the water? Yes. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada draws out the lesson that if one is in an unnatural situation in life, they will become weak. Now, Prabhupada writes, now from this we take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition may not be the same for everyone, and therefore there are divisions of varnashram. One has to find the right varna, the right kind of job in this world. And one has to find ashrama, the right kind of status of life, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. When one is situated in the right career, and when one is situated in the right social situation, then one will have much more strength to deal with the difficulties and the challenges of life. But when we're not psychophysically situated, when we are living outside of our dharma, then we will become weak. And therefore, I don't know if you're aware, but there are only two verses in the Gita which are repeated by Krishna. Can anyone think of which these two verses may be that Krishna says in the Gita twice, practically verbatim? One of them you should know for sure. Yes, who was that speaking?
Man mana bhav mad bhakto. That's repeated.
Okay, yes. So, who was that speaking?
Prem Sindhas.
Prem Sindhu Prabhu says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Yes, Krishna says in 934 and 1865, this is practically a repeated verse that always think of become my devotee, so on.
The other one is 335 and 1847 about working according to one's nature.
Amazing. Who said that?
This is Rukmini Devi Dasi.
Rukmini Mataji, yes. Yes. 335 and 1847. Krishna says practically the same thing. Shreyan Svadharma Viguna. Krishna says it is better to do your own duty, even though imperfectly, than trying to imitate someone else's duty and superficially doing it perfectly. In other words, Krishna is saying, don't live someone else's life. Live your own life. Live your own dharma. Find your own situation. Because if you don't, then not only will you not reach your full potential, but what you're doing in life will not be sustainable. And so being psychophysically situated is super, super, super important. Okay, let me move on and then I'm going to open it up for questions. So you got it so far. You got to be spiritually inspired, emotionally connected, psychophysically situated. And now the fourth thing is you have to be internally committed. If you're committed to something, one devotee once used to say to me, you know the best alarm clock in the world? Anyone on the call want to answer? What is the best alarm clock in the world? A really loud one?
The rooster.
A rooster. Maybe in Columbus you have a rooster.
Your spouse. Your spouse.
Oh, your spouse. I thought you said a rooster. Okay. Okay, your spouse. Okay. I can't say I have personal experience of that one, but I'll take your word for it.
Cold water.
Cold water, someone says, is the best alarm clock. Someone says a spouse. I said a rooster or, those animals that, are really loud in the morning. Anyone else?
Your body.
Your body is the best alarm clock, yeah.
Because when you grow old, then you get signs of your impending death.
Okay, yeah. Alarm, it wakes you up to the, Vidura said to Dhritarashtra, your hair's going white, you're losing your eyesight, your back is going, you need to get out of here. Yes. Well, this devotee said to me, and I always remembered it. He said, the best alarm clock is purpose. The best alarm clock in creation is purpose. Because if you have purpose in your life, when your eyes open in the morning, you won't have to force yourself out of bed. You will jump out of bed because you will see that every moment of life is valuable. You will have such a hunger for life that you won't want to waste any time. Once Prabhupada, he said, when I sleep, I think now I am just wasting time. Because Prabhupada was so committed. Srila Prabhupada was on a mission. Srila Prabhupada had something amazing to do with his time and energy, and therefore he was not willing to waste any of it. Srila Prabhupada created a mission of ISKCON. And what I want to share with you today is that each one of us need to find our mission within Srila Prabhupada's mission. It may be big, it may be small, it may be something that everyone recognizes, and it may be something that the world doesn't know about. Doesn't matter. We have to find a mission that captures our imagination. We have to take a part of Srila Prabhupada's movement and take responsibility for it and be committed for it. It could be a temple yatra. It could be worshipping the deities. It could be to take care of Prabhupada's book distribution. It could be to serve the Sunday feast at the temple every single week without fail. It could be to create a new temple project. It could be anything. But it's a mission that you accept and that you remain committed to. And it gives you such a hunger for life that it drives forward your journey. And this commitment, Srila Prabhupada here, it's a famous verse that he quoted, where Krishna obviously says one should be resolute in purpose. And when Prabhupada read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, one should accept the instructions of the spiritual master as one's mission in life. And when Prabhupada read that, he just became so internally committed to the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness across the world, that no amount of complexity, no amount of problems could shift him from his determination to serve. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was looking over Bhaktivedanta Institute, a small part of ISKCON. And one time he was in the room and all these individuals were coming to Prabhupada with problems, like problem after problem after. So he was just sitting in the room listening. After everyone left, Bhakti Swarup Damodar said to Maharaj said to Prabhupada, I'm just managing one part of ISKCON, BI, and there's so many problems. I can't imagine how many problems you're facing, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, in my life, I never saw problems. I only saw service to my spiritual master. And in that moment, he realized that when you're committed, you don't see problems. You don't see obstacles. You don't see difficulties. You just see opportunities to serve. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the obstacles that I face in my devotional service are the greatest source of my happiness. Because those obstacles deepen my service attitude and my commitment to what I'm doing. And so, let us discover a life in which we become committed to some mission within the wider mission of Srila Prabhupada's movement. And let me now share the last thing with you. In a beautiful verse in the sixth chapter, Krishna says, Yukta Haravi Harasya Yukta Jayastasya Karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yoga bhavati dukaha. Krishna says you've got to be regulated in your habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work, and then you will not encounter any problems. Srila Prabhupada used to sign his letters or begin his letters, I hope this meets you in good health. Prabhupada, in every single lecture, he was telling everyone, you're not the body. And in every single letter, he was telling everyone, I hope this meets you in good health. So how do we, yes, you're not the body, but you're living in the body. Yes, you're not the body, but the body is a gift. Yes, you're not the body, but through the body, you can serve Krishna. And therefore, the body must be cared for. And how is the body cared for? When you're practically balanced in eating, sleeping, recreation, and work. So we have to find balance in our life, practical balance. We have to, and this is probably one big challenge. Because yes, I've told you to be spiritually inspired. I've told you to be internally committed. I've told you to make good relationships. But where's the time for all of this? I got so many things going on in my life. It's fine putting on a PowerPoint. It all sounds good. How am I going to practically fit it into my life and live a balanced life? Yes, dear friends, that is the challenge. Somehow we have to find a balance, because if you find a balance, then that balance will allow you to be sustainable in what you're doing. That balance will allow you to be consistent. One time someone asked Prabhupada, what's the best way to chant Hare Krishna? Interesting question. What's the best way to chant Hare Krishna? Anyone know the answer, what Prabhupada said? What's the best way to chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, chant in such a way that you never stop. That's the best way to chant Hare Krishna. The best way to chant Hare Krishna is chant in such a way that you'll never stop. In other words, keep the vibration going. And in order to keep going, in our service, in our sadhana, in everything we do in Krishna consciousness, we have to be practically balanced. So dear friends, as you go into, or as we're now in 2022, and you think about your life, the world you have chosen, think about how to renovate your life so that you can be spiritually inspired, emotionally connected with deep friendships, psychophysically situated in your own dharma, internally committed to some part of Srila Prabhupada's movement, and practically balanced in your lifestyle so that you can have good health on a physical, mental level, and sustainability and consistency. And if you do this, then it will definitely be a beautiful life. But the question is, are we willing to give up who we are so that we can become who we really want to be? Shall I tell you, the most difficult thing in life is to change. But the most dangerous saying in the world is, we've always done it this way. Yes, we may have always lived our life in a certain way, but unless we're willing to change, we'll never be able to really evolve. And unless we really evolve, we'll never be able to achieve our potential. And if we don't achieve our potential in Krishna consciousness, we'll never really be able to awaken prema or love, which is our cherished aspiration. So these were some thoughts. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I said I would speak for 45 minutes, and did I keep the time? Yeah, maybe I went 5 minutes over.
Thank you, Prabhu. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ramesh. So, I don't know, Ramesh Prabhu, will you like field questions?
Yes, please. Do you have time for a couple of questions? Thank you, Prabhu. So, I see a couple of participants have raised their hands. One by one, we can go. Sumitra Mataji, you want to go first?
Sure, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. This was an amazing 1 hour. It was very thought-provoking and very provocative at the same time. You have written a book about thought experiments in a way that we can do this daily. One of the challenges we see is all five aspects that you mentioned, sometimes they are there, but they are fleeting and few and far between. And there isn't enough time to reflect upon, well, that time in life when we had all five, what was that and how can we recapture that and make it more consistent? And I know your book, you have Gita 3, Wisdom That Breathes, has some of this information in terms of how can we apply all what you said in this 1 hour on a daily basis and introspect. How can we access that and make it, in your words, a sustainable endeavor? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Very nice question. You see, one thing I would say is that these five things which I've told you about, they're not things that I'm asking you to add to your life. Because practically, these things are part of your day-to-day life. Every day you do some kind of sadhana. So what I'm saying is be spiritually inspired. Do that sadhana in such a way that you'll actually be able to develop some real attraction for Krishna by doing it in a certain way, by doing it with certain quality, you see. Is there a day emotional connected where you don't interact with people? Is there a day when you don't speak to your family or friends or devotees? You are, but it's just about what is the quality of that interaction? How are you doing it? What is the basis of your relationship? Then you'll have deeper bonds, you see. Is there a day when psychophysically situated, you're not choosing what your, you know, you have to choose a day-to-day career. You choose a day-to-day life situation. This is something you're doing every single day. Create a situation that works for you. So what I'm saying is that these things are not just about adding things to your life, but they're about refining what you're already doing, but upgrading it. But now I'll say one other thing, that, you know, life is like a jigsaw puzzle. I don't know how many of you did jigsaw puzzles when you were young. I can see there are some kids there on the, Ujjwal, who is that? This looks like a nice little young boy there. Maybe he does jigsaw puzzles. But when you do jigsaw puzzles, you can't get the full picture immediately. What you have to do is work on different parts of the jigsaw puzzle. So you work on a part here, and then you work on a part here, and then you work on a part here. And gradually, when you've built up the different parts, then it all comes together. So another thing that I want to share with you, when you're creating your beautiful life, there may be times in life when you need to focus more on one of these five than the others. Say for example, if someone is coming out of university, then they may need to spend some time on becoming psychophysically situated, because now is the time. They have to choose a career. They have to choose, am I going to become a brahmachari or am I going to get married? They have to choose, where am I going to live? How am I going to live? What's going to be my lifestyle? So they have to put energy into creating the right psychophysical situation. So more energy may go there. So Sumitra, another thing you may want to think about is that in different times in your life, you may put different emphasis on one of these five. And then gradually everything will come together. So that's another way also to look at it. Yeah, I hope that helped a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have a couple of more hands. Kajal Mataji, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. You know, I just, I'm missing England right now. I'm missing the Bhaktivedanta Manor. And hopefully, you know, if this COVID resolves, I'll be able to come back this year and meet you in person. I would love that. Yeah, I had a question about the School of Bhakti. I know that in the UK, it's like the headquarters, right, for systematic Bhagavad Gita education. So how do we here in Columbus, can we sign up for courses online or how do we access that?
Yeah, we do loads of online courses, www.schoolofbhakti.com. So you guys can, we've got so many courses coming up, like we've got a really nice course coming up in February, which is like an overview of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many devotees, they, you know, they never get to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in 8 weeks, you'll get a complete, not 8 weeks, 6 weeks or something like that. You'll get an overview. Six sessions of the whole CC. So you can sign up to any of the courses. But you can also create a branch of School of Bhakti in Columbus also. Why not? We now have School of Bhakti going on in Phoenix, I think. In Phoenix, we have an affiliation program where we will give all of you the resources, the teachers, training materials, the PowerPoints, and we'll even help you with, you know, if you need help in teaching skills. And then you guys can run it for your community. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, then you can get in touch with me. We have about 15 yatras across the world who are affiliated with us and who teach the courses of School of Bhakti in their locality using their own teachers. So so that's also a possibility.
Thank you. And the you know that book you wrote, The Constant Companion, Bhagavatam Constant Companion. Is that something that can be put online as like audible? Because, you know, I'm more into like hearing rather than reading.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I love that book, but I love it so much. It's fantastic. And anybody on this call, they should, you know, they should really look at it. And your website is tatva.co.uk, or is that it?
Yeah, tatva.co.uk. There are many books available for free download. And it's a good point, yeah, audio book. Somehow I've never been an audio book person, so I guess I overlooked that. But yeah, something for the future.
Okay. Thank you.
But you know, you can get apps on your phone. Did you know you can get apps, free apps on your phone where if you download the app, then you can upload a PDF and then it speechifies it.
Okay.
Huh. I read the app to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. And please say hi to Nitesh Gore, by the way.
Everything else.
I just wanted to let you know, just please say hello to Nitesh Gore. He's the pioneer of the Pandav. He'll remember me and my brother, so please say hello to him. Thank you.
I think so. Next is Prem Sindhu Prabhu.
Yes, Prem Sindhu Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your class. I was wondering about the recreation part. One should be moderate in one's recreation. Is it like referring to, of course, for devotees, recreation is to chant Hare Krishna, dance, take prasadam. But is it referring to that recreation or is it referring to going to some vacation or once in a while or maybe, yeah, what is exactly moderate in recreation?
Yeah, it's a good point. Prabhupada said that to Tamal Krishnamurti. He said recreation for a devotee is to hear and chant. But yeah, devotees can also go on holiday. Devotees can also take some time away from the stresses and strains of day-to-day life. Even here as brahmacharis, once a year, we go on a retreat away all together for 10 days. And in that recreation time, yes, we hear and chant and we do activities, spiritual activities, which uplift us, but also just help us to relax away from the intensity of life. So you see, in Ayurveda, It said that half of your stomach should be filled with solids, one quarter of your stomach with fluids, and one quarter should be air. And the air is required for the fire of digestion to take place. And so recreation means time in your life which is like air, time in which you are digesting life by taking a break from life. But it's not like recreation doesn't mean spacing out. Recreation doesn't mean wasting time. Recreation doesn't mean, just doing nothing. It just means air time, time to breathe, and time to digest, and time to reflect and introspect, and go back into life with better perspective and more energy like that. I hope that helps.
Yes, yes, bro. Thank you.
Thank you.
More or is it just another question about the psychophysically situated, right? I mean, Prabhupada writes in his books many times about renunciation. So at a certain stage in life, there should be renunciation. And in one purport in Bhagavad Gita, he says, even despite such difficulties, one should renounce. Right, in Bhagavad Gita, he says. So that time you may not be psychophysically situated in a certain way. So how does that fit into the psychophysically situated scenario?
Yeah, good point. Well, to be psychophysically situated doesn't always mean to do the most comfortable thing. That's one element. But sometimes you can live in a very comfortable situation and you can be outside of your psychophysical nature. And that's actually what most people are doing. And sometimes when you get into the right psychophysical situation, in the immediate term, it's uncomfortable because you have to make that transition into it. But once you're into it and once you're settled in it, then you'll actually realize, oh my God, this was actually very good for me. So say, for example, taking up renunciation is always difficult because that's not the way the world is going. Right? I won't tell you the full story of what happened to me when I became a brahmachari, but you can imagine my parents were not over the moon. They were not fully joyful about the fact that, and it was emotionally a very difficult time for me. I had to overcome that. It was uncomfortable. But later on, overcoming that difficulty, I became situated. Similarly, if someone is a grihastha for many years, going into vanaprastha is not easy. It's not easy to walk away from family life. It's not easy to stop being so active. It's not easy to now just absorb yourself in sadhana. It takes time to make a transition. So don't think of being psychophysically situated as always necessarily something in which you're comfortable. Sometimes to become psychophysically situated, you have to go through discomfort.
Thank you,
Prabhu.
Thanks. Thank you, Prabhu. I think one last question from Rukmini Mataji.
Sure.
Thank you very much for the inspiring and illuminating class, Prabhu. So I just had questions about the interrelationships between these five spheres. And so first I'll mention so one case where it seems that I feel that I do understand that there's a relationship. So that's between psychophysically situated and practically balanced. And there are definitely cases where a person who is not psychophysically situated in their proper field of work, they often try to do that field of work also as a hobby, the one that they actually want. And they may stay up all night or something. And, you know, there are actual cases that are seen. And then they're no longer practically balanced because they're actually trying to do two different fields of work at the same time. So that I feel I kind of intuitively understand, you know, that there's a relationship between those two. But the first two that you mentioned, spiritually inspired and emotionally connected, you had asked us to grade ourselves. So when I first heard those things, then I, you know, was grading myself as spiritually inspired. I put a high grade. I feel inspired. And I was thinking it's not because I have a lot of, you know, bhakti within me, but because I feel a lot of mercy from the Vaishnavas. I keep receiving mercy and that inspires me. But then when you actually explained it, then that seemed to go to the second one, emotionally connected. And so then what I had put for emotionally connected was, you know, okay, well, you know, I'm mostly emotionally connected, but then, you know, I'm in these times of isolation, you know, I don't interact all the time. So then I had a lower score. But then when you were putting the mercy of the Vaishnavas in that category, then I put that at 10 of 10. How did you intend the distinction between these two categories?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously there is an overlap there. Very good observation. Basically, I would say mark yourself on this basis, and maybe this will be a good conclusion for everyone. When you're marking yourself on spiritual inspiration, don't mark yourself so much necessarily on how you're feeling today in terms of spiritually inspired, but mark yourself on the quality and quantity of Pancha Anga Bhakti in your life. Right? You understand Pancha Anga Bhakti, of course, the five powerful forms. What is the quantity and quality of your spiritual practices? That under that category, mark yourself out of 10. And you know if your quality is good because, you know, you'll have a desire to want to chant more, want to read Bhagavatam more. It will be on your mind when you put your hand in your bead bag. You want to put it in your bead bag and it's not a burden, you know, like that, okay? When you're marking yourself on emotionally connected, look at all your friendships and those qualities that I mentioned, people who know you, people who love you, and people who can actually help you. And ask yourself, how many genuine friendships do I have? Where am I investing in relationships? How am I serving and interacting in those relationships? Just look at the quality of what your relationships are like. Yeah. In psychophysically situated, look at your career and look at your life situation. For many of you, the life situation will be automatic. In some sense, you're in grihastha life and okay, that's fine. But look at your job, your career. What do you do for most of the week? Is your occupation just something you're doing because it pays your bills? Or is it an occupation which not only makes you a living, but an occupation in which you naturally feel like you're making a contribution, you're utilizing your skills, so on and so forth, okay? Internally committed is an easy one. Well, not an easy one, but as in within the grand mission of Prabhupada, what is your mission in ISKCON? If someone was to ask you, Rukmini Mataji, in one sentence, tell me, what's your mission in ISKCON? We should be able to say, of course, there are many things we do, but there should be a focus or something which we take responsibility for in Prabhupada's movement. Practically balanced means these things Prabhupada is saying. What is your lifestyle like? Are you factoring in all the different elements that are required to live, to have a healthy body and mind along with everything else you're doing? How is your health? How is, you know, and you'll have very clear signs. If you're not practically balanced, you'll be getting ill, you'll be getting fatigued, you'll have a short temper, it will be very clear. And of course, day to day, these things will also, like, you can have a great day and think like, wow, 10 out of 10 on all of them. And another day you could have like terrible sadhana, but everything else as well. And you just think, oh, it's just spiritual inspiration. So day to day it will vary, but you get a sense of where you need to put attention. And use these five things. Okay, and this is the final thing I'll say, because I'm overstepping the mark here. But the final thing I'll say is, if it was up to me, and it's not up to me, there would be a fifth regulative principle, and that would be everyone should write a diary. Everyone should have a journal. Everyone should write their observations of how their internal life and Krishna consciousness is evolving. And when you are reflecting on life and you're writing in your journal, use these five things as key areas to draw upon in terms of how you're doing. Because then when you look at your journal, you'll be able to understand the trajectory of how your life is developing.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for tolerating me and giving me the opportunity.
So that's a very nice session, and thank you for being so flexible. You answered all the questions. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And hope to meet you again in the near future.
Definitely. That would be nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sutta Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, everyone. All the best. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.